All right. Did everybody get a stone when they came in? Who does not have a stone? Raise your hand. Everybody got one? Larry? All right. These folks over here didn't have one. Will somebody get them? Gail, you getting them? Because they have meaning in what we're going to talk about today. There's one left. Well, here, you can have my. Here. Who took more than one stone? Here you go. Let me give. Who needs one? She's got you one. All right. Hold on. We got you one coming. Some couples can keep one per couple and let Sherry have. You got one? There you go. There you go. You got it? All right. You're going to see where I'm going with this in a minute. You think, what in the world are these for? I told somebody earlier, I said, you know, in the Old Testament, prophet that wasn't true, they stoned him to death. So I said, we're going to review the prophecies that we've made over the last 10 and a half years. If they were good, I'm okay. If not, you throw the stones. So we're not going to go there. Hey, my grandkids are here today. Liam and Camille and Jordan and Lauren and McKenna and Jimmy all are here, so indulge me one second. Liam, hey, buddy, would you like to sing How Great Thou Art? Come on. Come on. Let's do it, buddy. Come on. Huh? He doesn't what? What does he know? Holy, holy, holy? All right. Come on. You want to help him, Jordan? On the keys. You can stand. You can sing. You can sing in the microphone. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, holy, all merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed. Yay, all right, thank you. There you go. There you go, buddy. Thank you. We wanted to hear that song. There you go. Now we can have church. Now, if we did this every week, I'd preach about 5 minutes and be done. But I'm not going to do that today either, so don't get excited. 1 Samuel 7. 1 Samuel 7. Strike 4. Good to see you. From Christmas concert, remember seeing you. Good to see you. 1 Samuel chapter 7. Listen to this. And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came, took up the ark of the Lord, and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. And from that day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the, it's actually Baal, but we say Baals in English, Baal, and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. So they put away their false gods. Then Samuel, verse 5, said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now, when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. When the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone, and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. We just sang the hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." You've heard me talk about this before. I've actually used this scripture at a couple of funerals that I've done. Not looking at this as a funeral, but this is a time of remembrance of God's faithfulness. Thus the songs dealing with God's faithfulness. We want to remember that today. But that second verse is one that maybe you've heard me talk about it, maybe you've heard others talk about it, but a lot of times we still forget exactly what it means. The second verse says, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home." That's a great line. So let me tell you, that line from that hymn, the name Ebenezer, and the lesson that we need today all come from a single Old Testament verse. Now, I wanted to read the whole section to keep it in context, but it comes from one Old Testament verse. I hope that after today, whenever life throws something at you that is maybe just a little tougher than you think you can deal with, maybe if there's just questions about the unknown things in your life in 2017, or questions about the unknown about Life Church in 2017, just questions, period. Questions freak us out because questions show us we ain't in control. And so when questions come our way, we tend to flip a lot of times. And I want you to be able to remember and repeat this strange word to yourself, Ebenezer. People may think you're crazy, but I guarantee you, if you can say Ebenezer with meaning, you'll never be the same. Let me tell you why. Let me read that 12th verse again and explain a little bit more of the story behind it. In 1 Samuel 7, verse 12, it says, "Then Samuel took a stone, and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far, the Lord has helped us.'" It was over 1,100 years before the time of Jesus. The people of Israel had conquered much of the promised land, but it hadn't been easy. It was tough territory. The infant nation, Israel, was still surrounded by enemies, some of them very powerful enemies. And in fact, 20 years before the event in this text, it was one of the darkest days in all of ancient Israel. One of the most horrible things that had happened in a single day 20 years earlier. Israel not only suffered a terrible military defeat, but they also lost the Ark of the Covenant. And they didn't just lose the Ark of the Covenant, they lost it into enemy hands. The Ark, you got to remember, was the symbol of God's presence among them. So that was the worst disaster imaginable to God's people. There is nothing that you can imagine right now that would be worse than the children of Israel going through losing the Ark of the Covenant, which represented to them the presence of God. Well, nothing was the same again. Nothing was the same again. Now, they got the ark back eventually, but it still, it just wasn't the same. So the terrible memory of that day would continue to discourage that entire nation for an entire generation. So now we're 20 years later. 20 years after this terrible event, Samuel, the great prophet of the nation, calls a meeting of the nation's leaders, and he said, look, you want to experience the blessings of God again? Do you really want to experience God's presence again? Then you need to return to your faith in God and in God alone. Now, that might seem like, yeah, well, because those people worship foreign gods and stuff. Let me tell you the context of that. Yeah, they had their gods representing Baal and Ashtaroth and all these different gods that they had just in case, you know, just in case. But is it any different than what we do today? It's a choo-choo train, isn't it? It distracts me too. What do we do today? We pray to God. We say we're going to have faith in God. We're going to trust God. But just in case, we're going to send out resumes because we don't know if this job's going to make it. We're going to believe God. We're going to trust God and have faith in God. But just in case, we're going to skip the next 3 months tithe so we can kind of build up our little nest egg so that if anything comes up, we won't be in trouble. We're going to have faith in God and we're going to trust God. But you know, I'm a young single female and I'm now 27, 28, 29 years old and I'm not dating anybody. And this guy's shown some interest. And although he's not really a strong believer in Jesus Christ, I'm getting older and I need to get married. So even though I have faith in God and I trust God, I need to help him out a little bit. So I'm going to just start dating this guy anyway and I'm just going to pray for him that Jesus changes him. Or I know that this job really isn't an environment that I really need to be in, and I have to work every Sunday morning, and so I'm going to not be able to go to church gatherings on Sunday morning. Granted, that happens to some people, and you can't. But, you know, I mean, you're in a job, you're looking at this other job, and you're saying, I trust God, I have faith in God, but I'm not going to be able to worship God. But it pays me twice what I'm making now, and after all, I need so much more. We're not really any different than the people of Israel who said they trusted God and had faith in God, but they had these other things on the side just in case. We do the same thing. We just don't have them in little wooden idols. We have them in green paper idols, and we have them in job advancement, and we have them in different relationships. None of you guys, I'll just pick on the guys right now. I'm just a dog if I'm the only one that's ever done this. any of you guys out there ever made sure you had another girl on the side before you dropped the one that you were with? She said it, I'm a dog. Well, see, I can tell that story because my wife knows what's inconsistent in that story. I never dropped anybody. I was the one that always got dropped. And then I always found out they had somebody waiting on the side to see how things were going to work with me. You see, we say we have faith. We say we have trust. We say we want things to work out. But we're going to take care of these other things on the side just in case God needs a little help. That's kind of what Israel was doing. And Samuel basically said, hey, you want to experience the blessings of God, you need to return to faith and faith in him alone. Now, times have been hard, but they were not going to be any better. And he let them know in no uncertain terms. They weren't going to be any better until they turned to God. You know how the whole nation responded? The whole nation returned to God. The whole nation returned to God. And at Mizpah, the nation gathered in prayer to seek God's blessings again. Wouldn't it be amazing if the United States of America just fell on its face and say, God, we have blown it. We are sorry. God, restore your favor to these people. Wouldn't that just be amazing? CNN would probably all die of heart attacks if that happened on the news. Yeah, they'd probably say Putin made the plot to make the people do this or something, put something in the water. You know, it's crazy. But the whole nation gathered in prayer to seek God's blessings again. Well, just at that moment, let me tell you what happened. The Philistines got word there's revival going on in Israel. And all these Israelites are together in prayer. And so the whole nation's there. They're all there in prayer. They're all seeking God. They're all on their knees. They're all praying. We need to strike. We need to hit them now. Because they're all being religious over here and doing their thing with their foreign God and all this. So we need to strike. Well, some of the people of Israel got wind of that the Philistines heard what was going on. And they got afraid and they told Samuel and they said, Samuel, what in the world? And Samuel learns of the treachery. So they get the soldiers to form battle lines. The Philistines came to attack and Israel kicked them pretty hard. It was an overwhelming victory. And you got to understand the Philistines. I mean, it would be about like Cedar Shoals High School playing University of Georgia in football. I mean, it was that kind of comparison. Philistines were just fierce, and Israel defeated them. So it was a great victory for Israel. And to mark the occasion of the great military victory, but also more important than the great military victory, the great return to faith in the one God, Samuel raises a memorial marker. And from that day on, whoever saw the marker would be reminded of the great events of that day. Samuel gave the marker a name. He called it Ebenezer. And the term meant the help of the Lord. Or, as it says here in 1 Samuel 7, thus far has the Lord helped us. It's literally what Ebenezer means. Thus far, God's helped. Think of that. Well, like ancient Israel, we're assembled here today in a time of worship, focusing on the one God. We're not going to raise stone pillars. We're not going to build monuments. We have not come through 20 years or even 10 years of spiritual despair. We haven't survived a great military battle or anything like that. But some of you individually and sometimes corporately as a body of believers here, there's been some hard days and there's been some long nights. Some of you in the last few years have had some really tough times. Well, today I think we could use a memorial like Samuel's. Now, their memorial wasn't a memorial of their hard times. And their memorial was not a memorial of even their more recent victories. It was a memorial, listen to this, it was a memorial to God's faithfulness. Here we raise our Ebenezer. Why? Because thus far, the Lord's helped. That's a reminder we need to have, folks. Oh, but we forget so easily. We lose hope, we lose sight, we lose faith. We go about our daily activities. We forget all the wonderful things that God has done. We forget all the great stuff ahead. And no wonder over and over and over again in the Bible, somebody is instructed to build an altar of stones to remember. Noah, Moses, Jacob, Elijah, all to remember what God had done for them. One stone upon another laid carefully to withstand the elements to serve as a reminder for generations to come that God had been faithful to them. Let me tell you something. We need more Ebenezers. We need more Ebenezers because life gets rough sometimes and we forget where we've come from. We need things like refrigerator magnets with Bible verses on them to remind us when we get our orange juice in the morning that the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. We need bookmarks in our favorite reading materials to remind us that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We need the company of other people who also love the Lord, the church, to remind us that we're not alone on our journey of faith. It explains why we have so many things that deal with remembrances. Why do you think we have gravestones? Why do you think we have fasten your seatbelt signs in your car? It's to help us remember. It's to remind us. And we need to remember, we need to be reminded because we forget. And we forget very easily and very quickly. Even a wedding ring is a symbol and a reminder of love and commitment, or at least it should be. Samuel's Ebenezer served the very same purpose. And so years later, people would look at that stone and remember, oh my, there had just been 20 years earlier the worst event in Israeli history. And on that day, they returned to the Lord. They prayed for his blessings. They cried out to him. And the Philistines attacked, and they were turned back and defeated. It was the greatest military victory. God was there. God was faithful. And we need those things in our life. Not to do the Scripture an injustice, but I think to put the Scripture in our present-day context, I want to walk you through some Ebenezer moments of Life Church that you do not need to forget. Because I bet you some of you have forgotten them already. And some of you who are new here today, you don't know these. So just listen. In August of 2006, there were some of us who had just been through a very hurtful, painful church experience. And your pastor included began to wonder if there was even any such thing as a united, loving, joyful church. I swore to my family, I'll never pastor again. McKenna and Lauren are here. Kim's here. I swore to them. I said, I'll never pastor again. I'll go to work at Walmart before I pastor again. I will not pastor again. Well, I had to eat those words just a short time later because God had other plans. But we'd been through a tough time. Some of y'all were there too. Some of y'all had been too. We didn't know what was going to happen. But God was faithful. Hear those three words. God was faithful. And the third week of August 2006, we met for the first time as a body of believers in Barnett Shoals Elementary School. And oh, by the way, Kim and I were in Nashville actually at the time. And on our way to Jackson, Mississippi to do Brent and Emily's wedding. We didn't know that we didn't even have a place to meet. And Ray Clark, who was the principal of Barnett Shoals Elementary School at the time, called us and said, hey, I hear that you're looking for a place to meet. We would be blessed to have a church meet in our facilities. Would you consider coming over here and meeting in our building? And we're like, well, how much? Clark County Schools, and isn't that just like a person with no faith? God has somebody call you and offer something, and the first question you got is how much? Not, thank you, Lord, we'll go through that open door, but how much? Oh, us of little faith. Clark County Schools had it set up to where if we'd paid all the things that Clark County Schools wanted us to pay, we'd have been paying $1,100 a week just to use it on Sunday. But Ray Clark, thank you, Ray Clark, wherever you are in Athens right now. Ray, as a believer, said, you know what? There's a clause in here that I'm going to use this clause that's little known. And it says for a nonprofit organization that you can use this for up to a couple of hours on, I think it was like 4 hours, on a given day when school's not in session, as a nonprofit for a flat rate of $250. Now, once you get in this building, they don't have to know that you're going to use the library and the cafeteria and this classroom and this hallway. That's none of their business. So for $250 a week, we're going to let you come in and meet here. Can I just say again, God was faithful. Well, let's move on. 2 years later, we believe God was leading us to call a full-time worship and youth pastor. Were all the resources there to be able to afford another full-time staff? No. But we believe that's how God was leading. And we called William. And God provided, and God blessed. About that time, we believed we needed more office space. Well, more office space. We didn't have any office space. We believed we needed office space. Actually, Panera Bread for the first 2 years was our office. We met every week, 2 and 3 times a week at Panera Bread. I drank more hazelnut coffee at Panera Bread for 2 years. I'd walk in and they'd see me and they'd say, everything bagel with hazelnut coffee? Yep. They just have it ready for me, ready to go. And we did that for 2 years. We began to think, we need some office space. We need a place to host meetings. We need a place where small group studies can take place. So we rented that wonderful space, and it was a wonderful space, in the Butler Building on Millage Avenue. They also allowed us to use the conference room for free. Can I just say, times, especially some of the financial times there, were frightening. Sometimes they were tough, but God was faithful. Short time later, Mark, who had started with us as our associate pastor since date one, felt led to leave. And I want to remind you, church, once again, there was uncertainty on the part of many. What are we going to do? Who's going to cover his responsibilities? And God was faithful. He raised up Josh Wooten from within our very own ranks, a guy who had come from Jackson, Mississippi to Athens to make it as a stinking rock star, who played the Caledonia so many times with Brent in their most horrendous music you've ever heard in your life. I've got a CD. If you don't believe me, I'll send you some clips from the CD sometimes. You know how sweet little Josh and everything, and he'd sit down at the piano and go, what is this? He's gargling? You know, I mean, it was horrible. Sorry, Josh, if you're listening online. I didn't think about that. He might be. He wrote me this morning. But God, listen, God took this guy who just a few years earlier was a rock star wannabe who came here with Brent Blaylock, and God began to impress in his heart, I want you to serve me more. I want you to serve me more. I don't want you playing the bars and the places anymore. I want you to serve me. And Josh came out, and we talked to him, and I'll never forget the first thing he said. You would consider me? But I don't have any education along that line. Now, he had a college education. But I've never been to Bible school. I've never been to Bible college or anything like that. He said, we'll get you some help. We'll get you some education. And he did a great job. And listen, let me remind you something. During those years that Josh was with us, God also led us to move into the heart of the city. A growing church in the suburbs, and God stops us in our church. And I don't blame God for things that I don't know were directly of God, but I want to tell you something. There was part of us that went kicking and screaming, but God says, I'm going to take you out of the suburbs. I'm going to put you in the city. And there's with all the challenges that goes along with that. So we began to meet in the Morton Theater. See, you remember when we got started over there. Several families, and I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to remind us how faithful God's been. Several families left immediately. We were told by some immediately they just didn't want to come into the city. Some said, we don't want to be that close to homeless people. Some said, we don't want to be that close to college students. I'm like, you're in Athens, Georgia. Some said, we don't want to be around that many black people in town. Can I just say what an awesome sense of humor God has to call Nolan as your pastor? I don't know if you've noticed or not, but his skin's a little darker than mine, so that's why I bring that up. But I love God's sense of humor there. And what happened? Panic struck. I got phone calls into the night. How are we going to get by? We've lost 5 entire families. Wow. We are so forgetful, people. And then during the next few years, God began to call away some of our most plugged-in members, not out of any ill reasons or anything. Some got married and moved away. Some were transferred with their jobs. We got former Life Church folks now who are professors at Texas A&M, at University of Tennessee, leading Campus Crusade for Christ at Georgia Southern University, in Shanghai, China, teaching in the international school there. We got Life Church on I don't know how many continents now and all over the United States. God just began to disperse us. We're not there yet. I'm getting there. But God began to disperse us. And almost every time the cries rang out, we won't make it. We might as well quit. And in all honesty, that crossed our minds a few times. Several times we experienced being in the financial condition of having only 1 to 2 weeks of operating expenses in the bank. Larry, Les, Chris, y'all remember some of the leadership team meetings we had where we had to discuss what if? What if? And we basically came down to, well, we'll make good on all our commitments to all of our missionaries and all of our mission support. And if we have to, we'll just start over. We'll meet somewhere for free and we'll just start over. We didn't know. But say it with me, folks. God was faithful. Now, it didn't stop. It didn't stop. Much to our surprise, God clearly led Josh and Jen Wooten to Mississippi, where after he'd finished his seminary training, he did get some training, didn't he? After he finished his seminary training stuff, he felt led to go as lead pastor for Hebron Baptist Church, which is where they are today. And once again, in spite of God's faithfulness, in spite of all the instances I've already named of God's faithfulness, the doubts and the lamenting of Life Church rang out. What are we going to do? We won't make it without the Wootens. God was faithful. After an interim time, God once again raised up someone from within our fellowship. And I think everybody here now would agree that Aaron Murray is taking our children's ministry to a whole different level of excellence than we've ever had. And if that wasn't enough, it was obvious from the very get-go that she had a real gift and passion for missions and administration. Just a coincidence, huh? Those were exactly some of the missing pieces that Life Church had. God was faithful. Last week, we said goodbye to William. He's leading today for the first time at Mountain Park First Baptist Church. Bless him, Lord. Hey, y'all know my cousin Horace that calls me every time the lottery gets above $100 million, wants me to pray for him? Horace is a member there. I don't think I ever told William that. Anyway, I know some of those folks. William's secretary, I have actually got pictures of his secretary and me holding hands as toddlers, both of us wearing diapers, out in the yard. I've known her all my life. So we said goodbye to William last week. 8 years of faithful service. What did I start to hear after William was leaving? The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Are we never going to learn, people? How quickly we forget. Without missing a beat, we realized God had already provided a solution. Not only is Heather Pillsbury part of a very gifted praise band, but also teaches music at Athens Christian School, as does Nathan, and has a degree in music and worship leadership. Listen, God met that need before we even knew we had that need. What's she doing in our church in the first place? Seriously. Why? Seriously. Somebody with their talents and abilities should have been out leading somewhere else. God met that need before we even knew we had a need. And then the bomb. Pastor Tim. Months ago, as you know the story, I began to sense God's leading to Greenville, South Carolina. And I cannot tell you the sense of disobedience that fell on me to think of refusing that call. It was heavy. How could this be? Does God not know I'm the founding pastor here? I've been here in good times and in challenging times. I've been with some of you as some of your loved ones have said goodbye. I've been with you as my own nest began to empty out. My life changed. My girls met their husbands while in Life Church. A funeral I was doing led me to meet Jordan, and I introduced Jordan to our girls. They didn't know him first. I knew him first. I chose Jordan. That's right. Jimmy, well, we just kind of put up with, but you know. But our nest began to empty. Our girls met godly men. God called them out to be married and to start their own lives and families. Kim and I came up to the church last night and just wanted to be here when y'all weren't. I wanted to get it out. And I just walked through parts of the church. And there's nothing wrong with being sentimental or remembering. It does us good sometimes if we relate it to God's faithfulness. And I walked through and I told Kim, I said, I'll never be able to look at that bench right there without seeing Meemaw sitting there telling everybody how to do their business. Or saying, psst, come here. I go over there. She said, that young lady that just walked in that took her coffee in the sanctuary, and I don't think that's appropriate. Thank you, Mama. Appreciate it. I began to ask the question, God, how do I do this? Lord, don't ask me to do this. And then you know what I began to ask? Are you ready? How will the church continue without me? Oh, it gets worse. I can't go, Lord, because Life Church would suffer without me. Wow. You see, you thought I was just yelling at y'all a little bit ago when I was talking about the people that were saying, well, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? How are we going to do it? Oh, ye of little faith. And now your pastor's going, church is never going to make it. You see, I got more concentrated on my own worry and my own fear and my own doubt, and I forgot about God's faithfulness. And that's what happens when we put self and our own thoughts and our own fears and our own hurts and our own prejudices and our own issues and struggles, when we put those things before God, we will forget every single time God was faithful and has been faithful thus far. We'll forget. So what does God do? Well, not only does he send us Nolan, who I absolutely believe is God's man to take the reins of Life Church as pastor, but one thing that a lot of you church don't know, and no, you're not going to get names out of me. Well, I don't know. If you give me a couple $100 bills, I might do it, but not only Nolan, but within a week, we had several strong, proven, godly leaders all wanting to pastor Life Church. It blew us away, didn't it? It blew us away. And by the way, as a testimony to your leadership team and how they followed God's will, and one of the reasons I know Nolan is the guy to lead this church now, he was probably the least of the names. So we didn't go with Hollywood. We didn't go with what seemed the most obvious, clear-cut choice. We went with what God led us to. Well, all through this situation, I heard God speak. I heard him speak loudly and clearly. And here's what he reminded this boy of. And here's what I think he wants to remind us of today. God says, "This is my church. I will build it. I will protect it. I will provide for it. I will lead it. And oh, by the way, the gates of hell will never prevail against it." Pick up that stone I gave you. We need things to help us remember. And as you look at that stone, I really want you to think to yourself, thank you, Lord, for watching over us. I can go back through more and more history that some of you don't even know about. There's been three or four times I can name right off the top of my head where churches were going to merge with us and things were going to work out. And short time later, boy, can we only say God protected us from a nightmare, because we wanted it and it didn't happen. And we were hurt at first. And then now we look back on it and think, good night, what would have happened to us? We probably would have disappeared from the face of the earth if we'd merged with these folks. One guy who's just a nut, got a big church, but he's a nut, and is wanting to, Cole, you can never accuse me of trying to be politically correct. But anyway, he's just a nut. And so when you look at this stone, which has no power, it will not give you good luck, it has not been prayed over by an evangelist, it has not been anointed with water from the River Jordan or anointed with oil from any sacred lamp or anything like that. But if you want to give me the $29.95 that you have to send into those TV shows for that, you're welcome as we go out. But this stone is a reminder of how God has watched over us. We can say, thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord, for your care. Thank you, Lord, that you did not abandon us and let us be given over to our enemies. That's why we have this Ebenezer, this stone of remembrance. It's to remind us of who we were, who we are, where we're going, who made it happen, and how he did it. And the cross on that stone is more than just a symbol. It's a reminder to us, it's an Ebenezer reminding us of what someone, Jesus Christ, did for us to set us free. And it also should serve as a reminder whose church this is. Three things, and I close. God was faithful. God is faithful. And God will always be faithful. Don't forget it. Stand with me as we pray.